Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord, and as always, we want to start our day with you. Father, it's a beautiful sunny day. The temperature couldn't be any more perfect. And we want to come before you and hear from you on this beautiful day. Father, I ask that you would speak through me. Let everyone get a message out of this that they can use in the days and in the years to come. Let us walk away knowing you and understanding you better than we did when we got here. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you send it to us to minister to us and interpret things for us to where we know what we are supposed to do. We just thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things that you notice nowadays when you listen to a lot of teachers and preachers is you hear a lot of feel-good messages that I call them. You know, everything is really cool. Everything is, everybody emphasizes all the cool stuff. And sometimes the things we're supposed to do, they forget to talk about. And I want to read a little bit this morning from the Sermon on the Mount. There's a sermon that Jesus did when he was here on this earth. And it's a real strong message. It really is. And it's kind of convicting. But bear with me because I'm making a point with this message. But I just want to read. It's in Matthew's. And the first thing it says is, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." So in other words, Jesus is saying anything, you might as well say anything that's in the Bible that was put together into the Bible that tells us how to live, that's going to be the way it is from then to now to forever. You know, he did not come to do away with any of that. So I just want to read a few of the things that he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll just, and this is like a three-chapter sermon, so we're just going to kind of jump through there and just grab a few of the highlights. It would really be neat if you could go home and grab your Bible and actually read it yourself. Like I said, it's Matthew's, and chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the main ones. But let's just see what he says. In Matthew 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Now, boy, that's some really strong words when you think about that. Now, we all understand that murder is wrong. I don't think any of us here are going to go out and kill anybody today. At least I hope not. But, you know, that's not something that we do, and everybody knows that that's wrong. But he says to be angry with your brother will bring judgment. Now, why do you think that? Well, if you think about it, anger is where it all starts. You know, I would say that the majority of the murders probably start with anger or greed or something like that. But anger is a good place to start because you get angry with somebody and that can lead to other things and you go on and on. So it'd be real easy for that to eventually go to that. But the point Jesus is trying to make is that we shouldn't be angry with one another. Then you go on and it says more. Let's read another one in Matthew 5:27. It says, "You have heard it said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now that is a real strong one there. And in this day and age, when you can drive down the freeway and see billboards that are almost border on X-rated and stuff like that, that'd be that's a real hard one to do right on, ain't it? I mean, I'm a man, you know, and I'm still pretty young, so it's hard for me, and I'm sure it's hard for a lot of other men if they're willing to admit it. Most of us just don't admit it. But, you know, Jesus says that if you think about it, and you're right back to the same thing. See, thoughts lead to actions. Whatever your thought process is, when you start dwelling on things, And I mean, you can even take that to something bad's going on in your life and you don't feel good about something. If you dwell on that and continually think about that, it'll escalate and just continue to get bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, you've heard the saying, you know, turn a molehill into a mountain. Well, you can do the same thing with lust. You can do it with being angry with somebody. You can do it with any of these. Well, let's read another one. See another one it says here, Matthew 5:31. Anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Oh, man, that slams us hard because I've been through a divorce. I'm sure there's other people here that, you know, probably have been through it. And if you don't understand why God would not want us to get divorced, all you got to do is look at divorced couples and the kids. The mess it creates and the heartaches and the hurt that all these people have to go through. I know I went through it one time. And so you understand why God would make that a law. But I mean, it's very convicting when you read these. But let's read another one. This is one that I really like, because you always hear this one quoted. Matthew 5:38, it says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth." And you hear that on TV shows, you hear that one quoted all the time, eye for an eye. But Jesus says, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Wow. Could we do that? I don't know if I could. I mean, somebody comes up and hits me, more likely I'm going to hit back. Now, Jesus says we shouldn't do that. Why does he say that? You know, does that mean we should just let criminals and bad people just run around and just do whatever they want? I don't think is at all what he's saying. But, you know, people that do wrong need to be punished. They need to be locked up or whatever. And we have a government that's put in place to do that. Sometimes the government doesn't do its job and people have taken the law into their own hands and they have to do it. I don't think it means to just let evil run wild, because otherwise this world would be really awful. But I think what it means is that we shouldn't react and want vengeance. Because usually when you get to an eye for an eye, usually that's the thing. I mean, you hear that in most, you know, a lot of the TV shows. You watch those cop shows and stuff. You know, well, so-and-so did this, and no, vengeance is mine. And, you know, they go after the bad guys and shoot them all and whatever. But I think that's what is really leading up to. I mean, we shouldn't be vengeful. So I can go on and on. You know, it says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So if we could go on for the next hour and just keep reading these, and every one of them will convict at least one of us, probably a few of us. And we're sitting there going, well, how in the heck could we ever possibly follow a God that has rules like that? Because there is no way we're going to keep them, and there is no way that I'll ever make it to heaven, because I just can't do that. And here's where the awesome part comes in. I mean, what we're going to talk about now for the next few minutes does not give us a license to do whatever we want. But the one thing that's really cool about the God we serve is that he counts E for effort. He wants us to make an effort to live a good life and to live the best we can. But something I want to read out of Romans, and it's in Romans 4:4, it says, "Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." So what is this saying? What it's saying is, no matter how hard you try to do right, know how hard you work at being good, it'll never be good enough, and it's just like getting your wages. When you go to work, you work so you get paid. But the awesome thing with Jesus, you don't have to do that. What you have to do is believe on Jesus, and when you believe on Jesus, your faith in believing in him is what credit gives, you know, that's credited as righteousness. And what does that mean? Well, real basic. You know, we're going through life. Let's say we just read the Sermon on the Mount, and okay, I'm going to try to do all these things. Well, trying to do all these things won't get me into heaven. I'm going to fail miserably anyway. And if I fail, I'm going to be not good enough to make it. So God came up with a way for us to be able to make it. He sent Jesus to this earth to pay the price for the sins that we're going to commit. And all these things on this list that we do wrong, He already paid the price for it. And He came here and He died on the cross. He rose 3 days later and He's now in heaven. He's sitting next to the Father interceding for us. That's the only reason any of us are ever good enough or can ever make it into heaven. And that's the whole point. You know, and when you read the Sermon on the Mount, if you take the time to read that, yeah, He wants us to do all those things. Those are not requests. Those are laws of God. I mean, they really are. But when you fail miserably at it, and you're laying there in bed at night, and you're going, oh, God, I did it again, or God, I did this, I know it was wrong, you can be 100% assured that you're forgiven for it because Jesus died on the cross and paid the price. That is the awesome thing about the God that we serve. And that's the awesome thing about Christianity. It is the only, if you want to call it religion, I don't like that word, but we'll use it. It is the only religion where you don't have to work to get into heaven. It's a free gift that God gives you, and all you have to do is accept it. So if there's anybody here right now that doesn't know Jesus yet, and if you feel a tug on your heart going, you know, that's something that I ought to probably do, I don't think I would pass up the opportunity, because you never know what's going to happen later. Those of you that know me have probably heard me say, you know, I believe in the big truck theory. If we could step out in front of one and you never get another chance, and that'd be awful. So we're going to say a closing prayer right now. And if there's anyone here that wants to know more about Jesus, feel free to come down here and talk to me. We're going to be here a good part of the day, and we'd be more than glad to share more about Jesus with you. Also, we got a table full of handouts. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes laid some real nice Bibles there that you guys could take one if you want one. And then I got some CDs that explains more about this stuff that are free. Just help yourself to them. And let's go ahead and close. Our God and Father, we just thank You so much. We thank You so much for Jesus. Because without Him, there'd be no sense to even for us to do this, because none of us are good enough to ever get there. But we thank You for Your forgiveness. We thank You for the opportunity to meet like this right here and talk about it, build each other up, strengthen each other. Because I know when we read things like the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of us get very convicted because we have done a lot of those things. And I thank You so much that there is no condemnation for those of us that believe in Christ Jesus. We thank You. So, Father God, again, if there's anyone that feels a tug on their heart, I ask that You'd give them the courage to make the decision for Jesus today. And for those that don't, I ask that You would just give them the desire to at least read up on it more and eventually come to that point. Father, as we get ready to go racing, I ask for protection on everyone here. Let everyone be safe. Let them have a good time. And let's do all of this for Your glory and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.